Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 3 of AZ Update. I'm your host, Anthony Bartolo, alongside my co-host, Thomas Meyer. Thomas, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Wow, what a busy week this week. There was a slew of announcements being made. Really quickly, Thomas, how have you been dealing with the shelter at home? What have you been up to this week?
It's good so far. To be honest, it kind of like now gets tough because it gets week after week and every day looks the same. But to be honest, I can't complain. There's a lot for us to do, right? We are a lot of preparation, obviously, of this fantastic show, as well as some other things we are doing. So definitely busy times. I hope you're doing great, too, in Canada.
Oh, yeah. It hit 10 degrees Celsius out here in Canada. So that's, in our terms, T-shirt and shorts weather. So we're all outside trying to do some quick walks. I know we're not allowed to stay anywhere, but walking around has been great. The weather has been nice, which is good. We actually expect 20 degrees by the weekend, which is awesome. Got a little bit of work to do on the car. Other than that, playing a lot of Xbox to keep the mind busy, as well as all the preparation we have to do for the show. Speaking of the show, let's dive into the news, shall we?
Absolutely. I think this was an amazing week, so we have a lot to cover there.
Oh yeah, it was crazy how much actually happened this week on Azure. And our first, let me just get the news up on the screen. All right. And today, what's been exciting for us as well is that we have producer Pierre now with us. So now we have the show that's going to be managed from Ottawa, Ontario, covering for Toronto and covering for Switzerland, which is awesome. So let's get into our first piece of news. And it's timely, too, because the fact that we're all in a situation where we're all working from home. And when this started, what occurred was everybody was told, hey, grab your PC, laptop, whatever that may be. Some people were actually grabbing their boxes, their PC boxes, and their monitors and throwing them in the car. And take your equipment home and start doing your work from home. For those that have VPNs, not really a big issue. For those that don't, what they've started to experience now is that after 30 days, their key has expired, their token has expired with their Windows machine, and now they're unable to connect back into work. We've heard stories of individuals going out back to the office to reconnect with IT, or to take their machine and reconnect it to the corporate LAN to reinitialize a token and then bringing it back. On a laptop, that's pretty easy, but you have to lug around this PC. It's kind of a big deal. So Michael Hildebrand was nice enough to write up a blog post in collaboration with Ned Pyle and those of the Windows Server team to articulate, you know, and to provide steps in regards to how do you address this from a remote aspect so that you don't have to go and drive in. What I love about this is that they actually share the steps in terms of how to address this, not only through the Windows GUI, but also through PowerShell. And this is beneficial for everybody so that you don't have to go to the office to reconnect your machine or to re-authenticate back token on your machine. You have the ability to do this remotely, get the assistance from your IT pro that supports your organization, and do this from the comfort of your own home. Thomas, what do you think?
This is just a great example, right, of things where things become really challenging in a situation like this. And it's what I love about this story the most, except that obviously we're out there to help. What I love, to be honest, the most, it's really that we were that the product group just went out there, wrote the click blog with all the information that people need to basically get it up and running. And I think that is just awesome, right? So everyone helps everyone in these difficult times. And I think that is really an important part.
And part of the challenge is that we were kind of caught in surprise, right? Like there was no time to prepare. It was, everybody shelter at home, got to go home, work from the house, grab whatever you can, bring it to your house, and we'll figure it out after, right? And that's a challenge, right? And it's something that a lot of IT teams have not, or IT organizations have not planned out, right? This is something that's not happened for a long time. I think not since the Spanish flu. In terms of scale, I know there's been other ailments, but in terms of scale, nothing like this has happened thus far. So a lot of us were unprepared. And so, grab your equipment, take it home. Oh, it should work. And it does. But, after the 30 days, because of security requirements that are put into place, it doesn't. So you know, hats off to Michael Hillebrand and team for writing this post to share out, you know, what you do in this situation. And again, not just from the GUI standpoint, but for also from the PowerShell standpoint, provides you that enablement of automation. You know, custom script can actually be created to actually push out the tokens to all the connected devices before they expire, so that there's an automated sync and enablement of said token to ensure that, you know, nobody has to come into the office.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's great. I just saw in the chat that Andrew mentions that he already shared this blog post with a couple of his colleagues, right, to help, like, basically getting up and running. And it, so that really shows that people are actually needing that. And so, no, it's, again, fantastic to see. By the way, like, you mentioned the Spanish flu. Were there even, like, domains? Like, did domain controllers exist during that time? probably not.
I don't know. We'd have to ask individuals, you know, that were there during that time. I don't know of any, but other than possibly my grandparents. But other than that, you know, we're in a different world, right? And what's what was interesting was when this occurred, how much we rely on connectivity, even more so now, right? And so world is changing, the way we work is changing, the way we connect is changing. And so the way that we secure and allow for access to information is changing. A lot of the news that we're going to be sharing today is in line with that, right? And it, and it's something where it's interesting, in fact, that the way that we secure our connections is changing as well. So being told we should move on to the next story. So Thomas, take it away.
Absolutely. So the next big announcement, and to be honest, I was looking for that for a long, long time right now. Okay, but you can still hear me? Okay, then I'll just look cool, like I pretend I'm there. So what we were looking back to that, apparently my camera is frozen. It's not me. I'm looking just on the screen, very focused. So the big news, which I was really waiting for a long, long time, was the general availability of Azure Confidential Computing. And so this week, I think it was even Mark Rusinovich in his blog post, basically, and Mark Rusinovich, CTO of Azure, he shared basically that now the DC SV2 series VMs are now generally available, which offer Azure Confidential Computing. And for those who haven't really like talked about Azure Confidential Computing yet, Azure Confidential Computing really allows basically to do encryption of data which is in use, right? In the past, until right now, we basically were able to do encryption at rest. So your data, when it's stored, it's basically encrypted. Like when it's in transit, we were able to encrypt that, right, using different protocols over the network. And now with Azure Confidential Computing and the work we did with Intel, we're now able to basically encrypt data which is in use. So let's say like a malicious admin or even a attacker which has access to one of the hosts, he can't really access the data inside the virtual machine running in Azure Confidential Computing. And so there are many partners out there creating software based on that technology, which you then can consume, and you get all these features. This can also be different PaaS services. And I think you can go out to the marketplace today and already use that. And then we also see tremendous amount of requests from industries like the financial sector or healthcare, where they have like regulations in place where it actually says, hey, look, we need to be sure that no one can access that data. Like, not at rest, not in transit, not in use. And that basically Azure Confidential Computing addresses all these scenarios. And it's great to see it now out there for people ready to use, right?
And so interesting too, right? It's the whole aspect of your information, your data is the new currency and everybody wants to gain access to it. And we've had, you know, in the past, these attacks that are occurring and people are getting more creative in respect to how these attacks are occurring. So it's the whole now availability of, if we have this in a secured VM in terms of the digestion of data for the outcome of X, whatever X may be in terms of your prediction analysis, it's the beauty of now securing this, which has been awesome in terms of an offering.
Yeah, absolutely. No, again, it reminds me of the time I was dealing with a lot of people like in consulting, right? And I was working with these services, like financial service companies and healthcare companies, and they were really, really happy. Like when they heard about this technology that they basically can do that and move workloads to the cloud. Absolutely. So this is one of the great news. But again, we have much, much more to share. And yep. I think you have a very interesting one to share.
I do. And here's our next article here. So next up, Windows Virtual Desktop Spring Update enters public preview. This is a big deal. This is something that's, you know, was announced yesterday. This is huge. A lot of people were looking to this. Again, we are working in different times. We're all, you know, at home in regards to our working activities right now. And it's that whole availability of virtualizing the desktop into the cloud, onto Azure for the enablement of, you know, getting work done. In this spring update now, you have the ability to create the templates for the virtual desktop via ARM service. This is big. Before this was done, previously it was done otherwise in other factions. Now using the ARM template, there's a lot of availability in terms of inclusion of Azure AD groups, inclusion of RBAC for access control, for portal integration. This is, you know, something for IT in respect to creating the virtual desktop to deploy, to enable on behalf of the workforce when we're in situations where, hey, I'm having problems with connectivity from my machine, the token's not being passed. Now what can occur is this individual can, you know, log into a virtual desktop provided on Windows and have the ability to connect to Office resources securely, not being done on the machine locally, but actually being, you know, done in the cloud and using the resources of the cloud, which is a big deal. What I love about this post that Tom has actually shared with us as well is also walking through the new steps in terms of how to actually enable this through Azure Portal and to access the resources for the Windows Virtual Desktop inside of the portal to actually deploy on behalf of your organization and to actually capture that as an ARM template as well for future creation of this enablement on behalf of the organization. Tom, what do you think?
I'm just amazed by the work this team has put together. And also, what I also like, I mean, I think we shared a couple of numbers on the demand on Windows Virtual Desktop, right? I mean, for me, it was like when we actually announced this, I was like, why wouldn't we have done that earlier, right? I mean, this is like a perfect example where the cloud can come in and scale up and down. Like, so if you don't need the virtual desktops, you just shut them off. And when you come back and you need them, you basically just scale. And so I'm super excited that the team has done such a tremendous work with so many updates and new and enhancements in the couple of days we're back, and also handling all the demand from our customers, right?
And that's just it, right? And so there was a lot of, you know, concerns yesterday that the service was actually slowed down. And that's because, you know, when a new service is being launched, everybody definitely is excited. They definitely want to jump in. Remember that this is public preview. This, you know, for the spring update, this is not general availability. So the services will only get better in terms of this availability on Windows Virtual Desktop. The piece here, though, is in light of what we're doing and how we're working today, here is another solution that maybe, what, 2-3 years ago didn't exist, pushed forward by the feedback that's coming back from the community in terms of this enablement to allow for easier access to information in a secured manner, right? And you know, what's important here is this is based on your feedback. This is based on your needs, what you feel is required. And, you know, we're hearing it loud and clear, especially now in the fact that everybody's working from home. So, you know, keep that feedback coming. You know, make sure that you're providing that feedback to us, to the teams here at Microsoft, to allow us to better the services and solutions made available.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, like, I remember having a lot of conversations with people around Windows Virtual Desktops at events, but also like online and email conversations. And now having basically like one of the main wishes right out there was always having those like, or the possibility to make it like Azure Resource Manager or integrated into Azure Resource Manager. And I think now this is, as you said, a perfect example of how we handle feedback and how we can actually go out and change things based on demand.
All right, we're ready to go to the next segment?
Yes, absolutely, because we have something else I want to show you, which is very, very excited this week. So the Azure Container Team together with basically the Windows Server Team, and this is, again, a news which covers a whole lot of teams around Microsoft, right? Basically, what we announced is the general availability of Windows Server containers in private clusters for Azure Kubernetes Service. So as you know, we have our Azure Kubernetes Service, which is a managed Kubernetes cluster, if you will, or multiples of those, and you can use them. And so now this week, they basically have nodes, Linux nodes supported. And with this week's news, basically, you can now also run Windows Server nodes in that. That means you can run Windows Server containers in Azure Kubernetes Service. So whenever you're now thinking about modernizing your applications or lift and shift and they're running on Windows Server, until now, the chances were very, very big that you basically went out there and just did the lift and shift or created new virtual machines in Azure. Now with that, I think that's an important part of where people actually can see, hey, let us think about how we can actually like probably modernize our application and put it into a container and then run it on Azure in AKS, right? And there are many of these applications out there which basically run on Windows Server, and you basically have a high potential to go into a container. And now with AKS supporting this, you also have the platform to do that.
That's awesome. Like that's you know, and the fact that we're going containerization for a lot of our implementations of architecture and infrastructure, to have this as general availability now, so now it is, you know, it is secured, it is a full-on offering, that's a big deal. It's something where, you know, previous to, like you said, we're just doing everything via virtual machines, and you were just doing the simple lift and shift. Now, in the fact that we're actually having this as a shared resource amidst, you know, organization architecture and infrastructure in a full-on offering now, that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I cannot stress this enough. This is just one of the news we had this week for AKS, right? There's multiple stuff and especially container and Kubernetes related news as well. We don't have time to cover all of them, but what I also want to say is like the support for Private Link was announced. So now, if you're into networking, again, I don't have time to explain all of that right now in this call, but basically, if you were into networking today, they were not really connected to the private networks. And so when you were connecting from on-prem, you had certain challenges to overcome to make it a real private solution. Now with Private Link, you are able to basically connect Azure services to your virtual network and then access them privately. And again, we had this for a couple of services and now also for AKS, right? I think this is a huge one and it didn't get enough credit when it was announced, I think, as it should, because a lot of companies are waiting for this. A lot of companies want to use this, and Private Link is a fantastic solution to those specific requirements. And the third thing basically I want to talk about Kubernetes is also we had a news that Microsoft Services is now Kubernetes certified service provider. So that is basically a certification which tells you, hey, they are certified to basically help you creating service on Kubernetes, managing services on Kubernetes and stuff like that. So this is also a very important stuff, which we have another certification yet at Microsoft, even though, and you can see that even happening for open source technologies, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, the fact that it's certified, it's ratified, it's you know, now blessed. It's a full-on service. This is not in preview anymore. You can actually use this in production. I see a lot of organizations taking advantage of this immediately. It's just going to further on our growth in terms of cloud utilization in you know, both of cloud first and the hybrid implementation. It's just, at the end of the day, it provides better access to users, you know, seamless access to users, especially since everybody's connected through home right now. It's just that a better offering, which is so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially now you know that you have experts in place, right, which can help you exactly help you with this. In the different stages you are, they know how to secure Kubernetes. They know how to basically containerize applications in best practice ways and all of that. And now if you were looking for these, I mean, we already had these experts, right? It was not something, but now we earned the certification for this. And I think, again, if I bet my business on something, I usually need to check, hey, is like some validation, right? And if certifications can make that definitely easier. I think, I mean, again, there was so much happening around Kubernetes service this week, and I'm sure it will happen in the next couple of weeks. But again, you also have something else to share about one of our other top services when it comes to identity.
Yep. Alex shared this out yesterday with us, and this is big, big news. Unlimited single sign-on and new Azure AD features being made available on Azure AD Free. Previous to, you would have to be subscribed to P1. Now, in the free offering of Azure AD, you have unlimited single sign-on capabilities. That's multi-factor authentication using the application. This is huge, especially in the times that we're in, again, working from home. As you can see, there's a theme here. This is something where, you know, now being made available to organizations around the world for commercial use, the ability to secure your applications using single sign-on offered directly through Microsoft for Azure AD, one of the larger authentication or identification protection offerings that is out there. Not, you know, it's one of the bigger ones. It's something where being made available on the free tier in the situation that we're all in right now, working from home. Again, another tool in an organization's pocket to further secure the organization and to allow for that free form of access. A lot of us work from a PC. A lot of us work from a Mac. Having the connectivity across multitude of devices, iPads, iPhones, Android devices, you name it. Having it done securely, doing it through the, you know, the ability to enable third-party applications to use a single sign-on capability. This is something, you know, that is a big deal. And has caught a lot of attention online. A lot of organizations that are using either identity management tools are now looking at this and saying, well, if this is offered for free using these tools for single sign-on into Azure AD, which is already part of our organization, and I don't have to do a third hop or a third screen now to protect my information and protect the identity of the individuals that are accessing that information, people are starting to look at it. And it's, hats off to Alex and team for this offering.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we discussed something similar like last week where they made certain Security Center features available in the free tier, right? Seeing more and more of that now coming also in like Azure Active Directory, especially as you mentioned in these times, I think is a huge benefit for our customers. Because, I mean, there were so many organizations out there which didn't have really a mobile or cloud strategy like really in place, right? They were just maybe getting started and all doing that. And of course, we had like other companies which were perfectly prepared for this or as prepared as you can be. Again, many of them probably just used Office 365, right? They were just using that. They were using Azure Active Directory, but they didn't really think about all these security settings and stuff like that. And now they had to move really, really quickly. And obviously pricing, especially also in these times, can be difficult. And so I'm super happy that, again, we are basically looking at this as well. So that we're really going forward and see, hey, what does our customers really need with that? And answering basically on that demand. And I, again, super happy that we do this. And again, the team, when it comes to Azure Active Directory, there's really, there's no question, should you use it or not? I mean, it's like a no-brainer, and it offers so much value to that many companies out there.
Now, to clarify, this is, you have to be an Azure subscriber. You'd have to have a subscription on Azure, a tenant on Azure, or an Office 365 implementation, or a Power Apps implementation at your organization to take advantage of this. Once you're into that, then there's no other requirements in regards to you're setting up your Azure AD under the free tier, and then you have the availability for SSO and multi-factor authentication. And this is something that's a no-brainer. You know, there's something that you should enable amidst your organization in regards to taking advantage of this. We're getting a couple of people that are online are asking in terms of where's the link for this. Everything that you see here in terms of what we're reporting on today is being made available on itopstalk.com. So we actually, every Friday, once we've done the show, we have a recording of the show embedded with the full-on news that's made available, and all the links will be provided in that as well. Thomas, you're up next.
Perfect. Yeah, so let me quickly switch to another news here. So the next one we want to talk about, again, large announcement, really fresh as well, about Azure and Red Hat and how we are actually expanding our hybrid management when it comes to management of Kubernetes, of data services, and all the innovation which is happening there. And I think we have a very rich history, Microsoft and Red Hat together, when it comes especially to work in hybrid environments. And in this announcement, we really talk about how we are extending this using, for example, tools or services like Azure Arc, right? So there's a couple of integration happening with the Red Hat ecosystem where we basically allow to manage not just Red Hat servers, but also, for example, Kubernetes clusters, which you then can manage, or OpenShift clusters. I apologize for that. That's the big thing, where you can basically go out and use Azure Arc to connect OpenShift clusters to Azure using Azure Arc. And this allows you a couple of things. We have, obviously, with Azure Arc, we can then deploy policies to secure these clusters and manage them like at the global scale directly from Azure, as well as deploying applications like containerized applications from Azure or using Azure, and then using like a technology like GitOps to deploy these applications and these containers on an OpenShift cluster. And again, doesn't matter where this OpenShift cluster is running. This can run, for example, inside Azure. It can run on-prem on your VMware environment, on your physical device, on a Hyper-V cluster. It can run in other clouds as well. But that's the great thing about Azure Arc. You can basically go out and manage and architect, manage and deploy services on any infrastructure. The other thing, I just had some funny comment from our
producer Pierre
yes. Here. He is really thinking that this is really empowering our customers, and he is absolutely right. But the other thing is, again, I must talk now about managing servers and managing our Kubernetes clusters and deploying that. But there's more. You can now also deploy Azure data services like Azure SQL on OpenShift clusters, right? Again, running anywhere. And this is really like what a feedback we have from many, many customers is that, okay, we like Azure SQL, we like the Azure data services, but for some scenarios, we can't really use it, right? It's too, the Azure data center is too far away, or we have regulations which this data can't go there. So we have Azure Arc and Azure, like we combined with our Azure data services. And this now allows you basically to run on Kubernetes cluster. And with the Red Hat partnership, we basically have that now to run also on OpenShift clusters as well. So really a lot of happening there in the hybrid space.
This is huge. Like this is something, it's incredible because of the fact that you hear this a lot from IT professionals. I have all these tools to manage my infrastructure. I have all these tools to manage my services, but I have to go through this application to do this, and I go through this application to do that, and you got to keep everything straight, and you have all these panes of glass open up on your desktop, and it becomes cumbersome. And the fact that you have this available from a single pane of glass through Azure Arc to manage your implementation, such a huge benefit. It's a big lift off of IT pros' shoulders in respect to managing everything from one spot.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Again, and there's like multiple benefits here, which again, as you mentioned, it's not just like, okay, managing that from Azure, but also then having our partner like with OpenShift there, with Red Hat and then their OpenShift solution and bring that together. It's all about making things easier as well, right? And with the complexity we are dealing in a hybrid environment where our IT stuff and IT operations have to manage hundreds, if not thousands of different applications, which again, can be very modern applications like on PaaS services or containerized solutions and stuff like that. But they also have to probably some classic traditional workloads like which run in virtual machines or right. Even on physical hardware. They need to manage that. They have multiple data center locations. They have branch offices. they probably live in a multi-cloud environment. And so having that possibility with Azure and also with our partners to basically go out and say, hey, we have a solution. We are addressing this for you, and we're making try to make your life easier as well.
And then a centralized piece of controller management allows for IT professional to do this from anywhere, right? So you have the ability to scale out your resources as required through centralized pane of glass from your secure connection, wherever that may be. And in these times, it's probably at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't stress this enough, how important Azure Arc or how cool Azure Arc is. And again, I think a lot of people don't know like how big this actually is, because again, right now we're talking about a couple of different scenarios, but what we're actually doing with Azure Arc, and I think that's when you make a step back and look at it, is basically we extend the Azure Resource Manager to not just manage Azure resources, but also manage resources outside of Azure, and right. Then still have all the benefits of it, right?
Cool. How are we doing for time? We got time for one more?
Absolutely.
One more. Definitely wanted to share this out. This is coming from our colleague, Sarah Lean Tekulas, on the Twitters. This is the data migration discovery phase outlook. What's cool about this article is actually written in collaboration with Janet Moss, who's a PMO lead over at William Grant & Sons. Why is this important? Again, a lot of organizations looking to move to a hybrid implementation or to a cloud-first implementation. Here is real-world example of the considerations that have to be put forth first in respect to how do we as an organization move to the cloud, and what aspects of our organization moves to the cloud or infrastructure, what security protocols or what security processes do we have to take in consideration, coming from a real world source. So, you know, we at Microsoft always, you know, share our best practices and share, you know, what we're putting together based on your feedback in respect to your journey into the cloud. This is coming directly from an organization that's been through this and has actually experienced this and is sharing their, you know, tips and, you know, how they accomplish this. I love this resource because it's real world, because it's something where it's being shared from the voice of the organization outside of Microsoft that has gone through the steps and you know, understands what they had to accomplish on behalf of the organization to not only, you know, be at par of what they were doing previously on premises, but now for adoption of cloud, where they're moving towards in terms of an end goal. And we talk about this a lot, especially with IT pros. IT professionals need to be part of the conversation when this talk is happening. We are very much reactive. We don't, you know, we wait till we're told what's next on behalf of our organization. This post details out, you know, where IT pros' seat is at the table in the midst of an organization with leadership and with the developers in respect to where the organization is going, where connectivity comes into play, how security has to be addressed, and, you know, great post to read up on to learn all that.
Yep, absolutely. as you said, real world examples are really like one of the best things. And to be honest, one thing I wanted to mention, I really love that you said on premises. Just say. but again, I get this question so many times, right? When I was working as a consultant, is like, okay, Thomas, what you're telling me, that's all great. And like, okay, I see what Microsoft is putting out there. Do you have like a real world example, like someone who went through this, who had the pain, who felt what it is, and actually telling you, hey, these are the things you need to think of. And I think that is great that we work together, and also that the customer also said, okay, hey, we're going to put that out there. We're going to share that with the rest of the world.
And producer Pierre is going to get a kick out of this. There are a plethora of resources that are out there available all across Microsoft resources, a lot of the blogs, but not only that, the social medias as well. So, you know, had a lot of great conversations on Twitter, a lot of great conversations occurring on Reddit in terms of best practices, in terms of adoption, what the gotchas are and what to think about when implementing your hybrid implementation or cloud-first implementation. All right, let's talk about what's coming up for the week. Thomas, what's coming up for the week?
So it's probably not just happening next week, and well, it's definitely not happening next week, but we have some exciting news here, which I'm going to share with you quite in a bit, Because I think it was this week where we announced that, of course, we announced it earlier that Build is going to be a virtual event. Now you can register for Microsoft Build. You can online register. It's going to be a free event. It will run 48 hours of different content from around the world. And obviously, you will have access to all of that. And then also watch some parts of it, obviously, on demand. You don't have to stay up 48 hours. But you can go out now, register for the event. Again, it's free. And look at the page here. You have so many happy people here. Look at Seth, how happy he seems that Build is happening.
Seth is always happy, always happy.
And then also, like, if you look at our, I want to say master, but we probably should not call it master. He says, please attend Microsoft Build. Well, sure about the please, but
Hold on, Canadian. Though. That's Passion Switch. So why is Passion Switch on a developer event?
That's actually a fantastic question. Again, no worries. I'm still alive. I just look like this sometimes, time to time. So this is, again, as I said, like Rick and our team, we are basically not focused on developers, right? But we really have also content for IT pros this year, right? And I think, as you see many, many times, things are coming together, right? We have to work together. It's not I'm an IT pro and I'm a developer and I don't care about all that stuff, which is happening, what you do. It's really like we need to work together. And this year, as some people promised me, we'll also have some interesting topics for IT pros as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that's and it's the whole thing that, you know, this event, remember, Build is about enablement. Build is about the services that are being made available. If IT professionals want a seat at the table, they too have to understand these are the services that are being made available on behalf of the organizations. These are the services, you know, that are the business leaders are looking at and hearing about and want to know more about. It is IT professionals' responsibility, our responsibility, to go forward and understand the resources that are being made available, how it works in conjunction with the organization that, you know, wants to implement it, how to partner with the developers. Yes, partner with the developers in terms of the rollout and deployment of these services, and not just from DevOps perspective. This is about, you know, the union on behalf of the organization to roll out these services securely and efficiently for the enablement of the organization as a whole.
Absolutely. I also want to quickly point out Richard here. He mentions that don't forget also the citizen developers. And right. Of course, absolutely correct here. I think we should change the term here and just say like all IT related people or technologists. Thank you, Pierre. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is like, again, Build is not just like a pure developer conference anymore. You also right. have content for basically everyone out there to learn about new stuff, learn about existing stuff which is out there. I'm already super excited to be part of this.
Oh yeah, I am too. I've got a session on at Build, and I know you have a session on at Build. Canada, how's it going? Going to be working with them at Build as well. And I think you're doing something with a local subsidiary as well, Thomas.
Well, we have a schedule for like Q&A with experts. I'm not sure if they should consider me an expert, but I will be there and pretending to be an expert on hybrid topics like Azure Stack and Azure Arc, and talk about with customers about it and everyone who is interested, to see, hey, where are the challenges, what is new, what I'm excited about. And so I'm really looking forward to that as well. And I know that, as you said, there are many, many subsidiaries there also doing additional stuff around Build.
A lot of subsidiaries are doing their own projects around Build in conjunction with Build. So it doesn't compete with Build. What I love about it is, you know, what Team Canada is doing, you're injecting a little bit of Canadiana into Build, specifically addressing the audiences that are out there in, you know, prescribed spots that Build has opened for the local subsidiaries to share localized content.
So I was like, when you said they inject a little bit of Canadian into the event, I was like thinking about maple leaf syrup to like put that somehow into the event. But yeah.
Everybody's getting Timmy's coffee. Everybody gets a double.
Nice.
All right. So that takes us to our last segment, which is the Microsoft Learn module of the week. This is Erin Rifkin's favorite segment, as she's told me. We have the Architect Migration, Business Continuity, and Disaster Recovery in Azure. Again, in line with what we're talking about this week and the theme of working from anywhere, a lot of organizations looking at a hybrid implementation or looking at a cloud-first implementation. Here's a great first step to gain an understanding in terms of the fundamentals or what to look for when going towards a hybrid or cloud-first implementation. What I love about Microsoft Learn, as I said before, these are hands-on labs that are done in Azure at no charge, at no cost to the person that's completing these labs. These labs allow you to upskill in terms of the Azure services that are made available. So specifically inside of this module itself, you know, it's the whole aspect of design, disaster recovery, how do you protect your data in terms of your virtual machines, in terms of your identity management. Again, in a module, this is, you know, the top layer. This is the introduction to get you started. From here, there are, you know, more specialized modules that we will talk about on later shows. But this is a great way to get your first, you know, glance at what your implementation could look like.
Yeah. And again, I did, like, I remember doing this specific module, and I really like it. I really like what the Learn team or the people who write these modules, like us, put together here. Because this is really like where you get a deeper understanding of how things work, right? It's not just about here is the documentation, and that, I mean, documentation is absolutely critical and important, but it's also about upskilling yourself and basically knowing, hey, how are things related to each other? And just of having a reference. And I think that is where Microsoft Learn does a great job in bringing that together, and basically you can go through and say, hey, I want to learn about that specific topic, and then go through the different modules and learn about it. And again, I'm not sure if this one has like one of the sandboxes where you can actually try out things, but this is one of my favorite features of Microsoft Learn is when you have these sandboxes where you don't even need an Azure subscription, you don't need an account on Azure, you don't need to spend any money on it, you don't need a credit card, you just can go out and try things in these sandboxes, basically on Azure, and look how they work and put them together and see a result and play around with it.
Wow, there was a lot of news this week, Thomas. This has been a great show. We're almost at time. Anything else you want to add for this week?
No, I really hope that everyone just stays safe, right, in these difficult times. Everyone has a lot of, still, as much fun as they can, even staying home. And, of course, happy learning.
And I want to do a quick shout-out to producer Pierre. You can follow him on Twitter at Wired Canuck. My name is Anthony Bartolo. You can follow me on Twitter at Wireless Life.
And my name is Thomas Maurer, and you can follow me at Thomas Maurer.
All right, and that's the end of this week's show. Thank you again for all your insights and inputs and sharing of information with us. We're happy to share that on the show when you do make it available. Do check us out on itopstalk.com for the recap of today's show in terms of all the links that were showcased today on the news. And have a great week, everyone.